533 in the back. We will read our scripture together. 533. I will extol thee, my God, O King,
and I will bless thy name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless thee. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for every opportunity and privilege you give us, and especially this evening hour, to be in thy place in the church that has been dedicated to God's worship through the years. We thank thee, Father, that we are joining hearts and hands and spirits together with a long train generations past. And we are also linking our lives with those in the future who will follow us. And so for this, we pray that thou shalt bless us and be with us, as in the past, so in the present, and in the future. Now take this service tonight and cause it to be an enrichment for each life, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to welcome our visitors and friends who are worshiping with us tonight. It's always a joy to have friends come in, and we are happy that you are here. If you are visiting, we have ushers who would like to present you with a card of greeting and welcome. If you would just lift your hand, they will recognize you wherever you are. This morning we had some guests from different places, as we did last Sunday. We're always thankful for those who come and stop by to be with us. Now, lots of people these days are journeying on vacations and other things, but it's always good to be back in God's house and worshiping Him. We're happy that you are here this evening. Our announcements are printed in the bulletin here, and I understand that most of you can read, so I heard one preacher say that the assistant got up and read every blessed word in the announcements, in the service. Well, I am not going to spend that much time tonight. I'm just going to leave it up to you to read it. But I do want you to come Wednesday night and be here for the Sunday school supper. We are going to have a good time and a great blessing at that meeting. And so sign up on the door as you leave the service if you haven't already. I think it'll be good for you. Now we want to turn in our hymnals to 219. We're going to stand as we sing, God Will Take Care of You. 219.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank thee for the privilege of giving, and we pray thy blessing upon the tithes and offerings presented this morning and tonight. We pray that thou would grant that our gifts shall be sufficient to meet the needs of this congregation and the needs of the kingdom, even to the ends of the earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night is a Popeye dinner. Wimpy said to bring, you come and bring the duck. So it's sort of one of those hot luck, I think, times that we eat together. Now in the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 15, there is a verse. I want to do a little thing with finding happiness. Maybe I can help some of you. I think I've found it myself. I don't know whether you have or not. But it's very important that you do this. And we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Our text says that greed is not the answer more and more for real happiness. That is, we must properly regulate our desires. And Jesus told a story about this rich man who talked about my barns and my fruit, my grain, my goods, my soul, and yet God called him into account for it. First thing I want to say is, unhappiness is abnormality. I think this is one thing for a man to learn how to live a happy life. The Declaration of Independence of this country says that a man has the right to life, to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How few of us pursue it intelligently. So many of us are like the description of a dog chasing his tail, hunting for happiness, going around and around, never quite succeeding. We have our ideas of happiness in our day. I suppose over $200 million, maybe $300 million is spent every year on fortune tellers. Somebody is going to tell you how to be happy and where it is. A lot of people have an idea that happiness is plenty of food to eat. Another people have an idea that it is amusement, that I got to be entertained all the time. I'd be miserable if I thought somebody had to keep me busy all the time and amuse me, you know, doing various things to occupy my time. Well, some people think that happiness is freedom from care. Like a cow who gets up in the morning, no face to wash, no hair to comb, no meal to prepare, her cereal has already been prepared, eats her fill, gets her drink, finds a good shade tree and lies down to chew on her cud. And that's happiness, contentment. All the cares have been taken care of. It's pathetic today to watch people by the thousands who know little about happiness. They are always hunting for a new gadget. Maybe a water baby, I don't know. New gadget, always something, you know, that's new, we gotta have, we gotta get with it. People are asking today that we make haste. And they say, well, this is where happiness is. You know, it's speed. It's going places, doing things. Like a man who hopped in a taxi cab. And he said to the driver, drive fast. The man took off. And he was really carrying on. Finally, the man in the back seat says to the taxi cab driver, says, where are you going? He says, I don't know, but we're sure going fast. He said, now that's what you demand. We go fast. You know, the psalmist said in 55:6, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. Once in a while, we feel like we'd like to jump out of our skins, crawl into a hole and hide somewhere. Actually, there are no places to hide. You might even go to a monastery. You know, you carry the individual there. So you really can't get away from yourself. You can't get rid of yourself in that way. And I fear too many of us are like Alfred Luckett, who got on a train one day and settled down with his newspaper. And the train was rocking along. And the trainman came along, looked at his ticket. He said, where are you going? He said, such a little town in Hartford up there in Connecticut. Well, he said, I'm sorry to tell you, this train doesn't go there. You got a ticket to the wrong destination. And I think sometimes people get in search for happiness. They get the wrong kind of ticket. Well, there are some true sources for happiness. Let me give you two or three things that I believe will help you to find happiness. First of all, learn to adjust. As it is, the world changes. Your ideas change. But God never changes in this world. Now, we might sit under the juniper tree once in a while and talk about and worry about our situation. But there is no way on earth we can get out of some things. Well, the undertaker called me just before I came to this service tonight. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like the man on the taxi, meet myself coming and going. And sometimes we have to lay away those that are close to us. And we fail to learn to adjust to it, you know. If we're going to find happiness, I don't think we can find it in a morbid state, but I think we have to adjust to whatever comes in the providences of God to our life and our lives. Alex Templeton, who entertained millions on the radio, was stone blind. Helen Keller was blind. A child tries to make the world adjust to him. He bangs on the door, it won't open. He cries when the toy is taken away from him. And so sometimes we as individuals, as adults, we find that when something just doesn't go to suit us, that we can't adjust. And that takes away all the happiness. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned to be content in whatever happens in my life. That's number one, learn to adjust. The second thing I would like to say to you about happiness is, learn how to be thankful. The radio, the papers are telling us that things will make us happy. Knew this, knew that, and so on. But I think if we learn how to be thankful for what we have. If you remember the days of the Depression, the hard days, you learn how to be thankful. We always had food. But my father always, when he gathered everyone to the table, would give thanks for that food. And I think that's a part of happiness, learning how to be thankful Grace Noel Crowell writes, "I have found such joy in simple things. A plain, clean room, a nut brown loaf of bread, a cup of milk, a kettle that sings, the shelter of a roof above my head. Oh, I have found such joy, I wish I might tell every woman who goes seeking afar for some elusive, feverish delight, that very close to home the great joys are. These fundamental things old as the race, yet never thought, though the ages are commonplace. Learn to be thankful. Thirdly, if you're going to be happy, you must learn to say no. Daniel refused to surrender his convictions under the pressure that was brought upon him to do away with his honor in the hour of custom. Daniel said no. Esau was a profane man and he lived outside of the temple, but Esau never learned to say no. I think the psalmist in Psalm 1 pictures a happy man. It says, he is careful of his companions. He refuses the danger of sitting down in the seat of the scornful. He knows that oil and water and fire will not mix. The wicked may be able to laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of hell. That's why it's vital for us to learn how to say no with an emphatic way. We'll find happiness there. Every day we meet temptations. You do, I do. And we have to learn to say no. In the fourth place, if we're going to find happiness, we need to give our allegiance to an enduring cause. I think happiness is not dominating others, but it is really serving others. And instead of us trying to be happy, let's try to make somebody else happy. You ever think about that? Did you ever stay up all night with somebody in a sick bed? Do you make it a habit to share with other people the things you have? Do you rejoice in the opportunity to make a sacrifice for your church? Is it drudgery to come and take part in what God is doing here in this church? The world is made up of leaners and lifters. Leaners consume happiness, but lifters produce it. Leaners complain, but lifters make a better community. George Eliot, in her book, tells us about an unhappy character. If thou goest here and there seeking thine own will, thou shalt never be happy, she said. Too many people are wrecked by their love of temporal and of self, and never give their love to anyone else. General Booth, who lost his eyesight, said, "I have done what I could for God, for the people, with my eyes. Now I will do what I can for God, for the people without my eyes." And so if you want to find happiness, I would challenge you. Take on some new Christian responsibility tonight. Our nominating committee is busy at work, searching here and there to find people to fill organizational spots. And the happiest people in the world are those who have assumed allegiance to some great and gracious movement that will last for centuries. To me, one of the most interesting things in the world is a little child. Somehow I am so amazed that when I see one, I can't get by without saying something to him. Wherever he might be, and sometimes maybe the right word, maybe the right teaching will be the thing that will turn that child around. And if you want to discover joy and happiness in life, then begin going the second mile. Fifth and finally, you will find happiness when life is rightly oriented toward God and man. Happiness cannot be purchased across the counter. You cannot pick up a mail order catalog and order so much happiness. True happiness can only come when your life is oriented toward God with peace in your heart and your mind. Sometimes I wonder whether some people are interested in real happiness. I talked to a young boy the other day. "Do you really want to find happiness?" I said, "I know what you can do." But he said, "I love to drink beer." I said, "It is not in that can. It has to be with God." Finding happiness. I hope tonight the happiest people that I know are those who have found out that God's way is the best. If there be some woman, man, boy, or girl who has never discovered this, I would invite you to come to the altar. Take your place on the front pew and say, "Oh God, tonight I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ." That's where it is. I'm singing two stanzas of our invitation hymn, just two. And as they sing, if there is someone here tonight who has never given your life to Jesus Christ, man or woman, boy or girl, I want to give you this opportunity and extend this invitation for you to rise and get up out of the pew where you are, come forward, and make your decision for Jesus Christ tonight. And say, "Yes, preacher, I'd like to become a Christian tonight." While we bow, while the choir sings, will you respond?
May God bless each of you today, through every day this week. And share that joy and gladness with somebody in your life. Now I need a secretary or two to come and take the names, and we'll try to do this methodically. And ever who is prominent in these pictures, I would love for you to receive it and to have it. And we will we got too many for tonight. I've got about 200, 300, 400. I got too many for tonight. We've got another night coming. And some other nights, so I need two or three women to come in here.